Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Busuu. Start learning with Busuu by visiting busuu.com. That's B-U-S-U-U.com. Or search Busuu on the iOS App Store or Google Play to upgrade your learning with 30% off Busuu Premium. Just use code GHOST.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a motion-activated doorbell catches something following a listener home. An investigator is mocked during an investigation of an old theater. A listener finds her late grandmother is there to help during difficult times. And a care facility becomes very active after everyone goes home. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
This will not be the first motion-activated doorbell incident we've had. And
no.
The other one doesn't... there might have been more in stories that I'm just not thinking of, but I remember there was one actually on an episode of Seeing Ghosts a while back where there was a video that was provided, and it was creepy because you're like looking at it going, what the hell is that? And it was just, it was this really close like face almost like looking into the doorbell. And I don't remember. I think it was like Seeing Ghosts 7, 8. I don't know. It was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all up there to watch at ghostpodcast.com if anyone wants to check that out. But it was creepy. It was, and I suppose, you know, that's one of those things where technology is capturing the undead, the ghosts, and a mainstream piece of technology, not just ghost hunting equipment that's specifically designed for it.
Sure.
And then you have to wonder more about other previous technologies, just the old motion sensor lights that folks would have out in front of their house or in their garage that, you know, animals would trigger.
Mm-hmm.
But how often was it not an animal that was triggering it that we just kind of wrote that off as, oh, it's the, you know, possums.
Possum, bird, whatever. Yeah.
Zombie. Yeah, the undead. I know, interesting thing to think about, but I'm looking forward to that story. Phone number, of course, 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Email your audio file to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And, of course, follow us on social media, posting creepy-ass pictures that we're taking all the time up there. At Real Ghost Stories Online on Facebook, Twitter at Ghost Story Radio, Instagram at Ghost Podcast, and Snapchat at Ghost Podcast there as well. So lots of ways to interact outside of just the show. I felt kind of old earlier, just before doing the show. I had a promo to cut for a radio station, and it was a music, you know, promo for some bands that are coming to a casino.
Uh-huh.
And in my mind, because, you know, the last time I did Top 40 Radio was, I don't even remember, 2005-ish, right around there.
Okay.
I'm trying to think what was a big song at the moment, and then I'm completely being eluded by it, but it was right around there. And that's really when I stopped listening to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless it's something that the girls are listening to, then I know some basics, but it's the time of knowing every song that's on the radio and how it all goes and how it starts and ends. It was that long ago. So anyway, bands that are coming to the casino as a joint show. And these are bands that I remember like would fill large arenas.
Yeah.
Back in the day. Not like having to combine forces to sell tickets. And that's just like, oh my God. Matchbox 20.
Oh.
And Counting Crows. Now, Counting Crows has been kind of on a decline for a while. But I was kind of surprised to hear Matchbox 20 on that bill.
I was going to say Counting Crows and Smashing Pumpkins.
Smashing Pumpkins? Now, I could see Smash Mouth.
That's maybe what I'm thinking
okay.
of.
Yeah. Smashing Pumpkins, I think, is... They still kind of... You know, they got kind of their cult following.
Okay.
I think if they... I don't know. I would think they'd be still a little bit... bigger than that? I don't know. Although Matchbox 20 would have had more songs, but just some of those groups just have their... It's like the Grateful Dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have their cult following that puts them too big.
Yeah.
Regardless of radio airplay. So, anyway. Was Rob Thomas still with Matchbox? Because I know he went out on a solo
gig for a
while. I
don't know if he's still with them, if he records anything with them or not. But I just remember that, what was that, their first album?
Yeah.
That was just like every single song on there.
3 a.m. Push and all sorts of, it was just like, oh my gosh. And they were so big. And I was like, oh my God, are they? I don't know. I mean, I don't know the last time Matchbox 20 song.
It must be how our parents feel when, you know, they see their favorite bands going to the state fair every year.
You know? I'm thinking back because I remember being about 10, you know, Libby's age, and my mom being very excited for like going and seeing America at the local, you know, state, the local fair or the county fair, really, or the water fest that they'd have in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, or, you know, and like, oh, here's Mickey Thomas and
Starship. Yeah.
And all sorts of like stuff, you know, from essentially that would be how old it was at the time when I was thinking, oh, these are so old, Mom. She's like, no, these are great songs. These are not that old. I understand how that feels now.
But
I understand.
I think it's a little different for us in that our kids, they are very much into our music and even older, like our stroller tunes, you know,
that
we heard in the mall when we were riding around in a stroller. They know all the words to those songs. So it's it's kind of different, I think.
And there's a different level. I know we're kind of going off on a tangent. We'll get to the ghost stories in a moment. There's a level of obscurity that I think some of those artists, you know, kind of crept into faster or just staying with that generation than a lot of our music did. Like, you can still hear, there are specific artists that we grew up with in the 90s that are still relevant today.
Sure.
There was very few of 70s, you know, in early 80s that were still playing on the radio in the 90s, unless it was like some, oh, wow, look who's back for one song.
But let me ask you this. The ones that are relevant, that were relevant when we were kids, were they not relevant before we were listening? You know, like, I think of like U2, and they've just, you know, for 40 years, they've had hits.
But I think like Matchbox 20 has had a current song on the radio in the last 3 or 4 years, I think.
Yeah.
You know, Mariah Carey still attempts to be relevant, which is just getting sad at this point.
It is.
But some of, you know, they have had songs in the last, you know, 5, 6 years. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's interesting to see as time goes by.
Anyway.
And I'm going to sing.
Don't.
Jim Croce. Is it Time Passages? Who sings Time Passages?
Time in a Bottle.
No, that's, right. That's Time in a Bottle. Who does Time Passages? I didn't like that one. But
I don't know.
855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to, if I could save time. You know, I said it a little bit. Anonymous writes in, hi guys, just recently discovered your podcast and I absolutely love it. It's helping me pass time at work and I love hearing everyone's experiences. 23. Live here in Kentucky my whole life. I've experienced several things over the years, but I believe that some of them are connected. I have a history of screaming in my sleep, although I never seem to remember any dream or feel odd when I wake up, but several friends have witnessed it happen. It would wake me up, freaking out, thinking something was wrong. It happened most often when I was a lot younger, but to my knowledge, it's stopped happening. Last year it happened again, however, while I was hunting with my dad. We was in the deer cabin. I was propped up against a tree in the woods rather far away from him, and I dozed off for a little while, and I was exhausted from work. When I awoke, I had a text from my dad asking me if I was okay. I responded that I was fine and asked him why. He said that he heard me scream and was on his way to get me. At that time, my phone battery went from 60 to 1%. It remained this way for the duration of our conversation. Well, I assured him I was fine. Once the conversation about my apparent scream ended, my battery went back to normal. I figured it was just some sort of coincidence. The rest of the evening went fine with nothing odd. I brushed it off until a few weeks later. I live with my grandparents, and they have a motion-activated camera doorbell that sends video to their phones anytime it's triggered. I work an odd schedule, so I come in late at night sometimes, and as always, it records me coming inside. My grandparents are very hesitant on showing me this video at first, but I was very intrigued by it. On one of the recordings of me coming home, you can see a clear outline of a person's head, neck, shoulder, and even the outline where the eyes and nose would have been. I have a copy of this video and would like to send it in as well. And I'd just like to say, yes, please do send it in as well.
For sure.
Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Then I will text it to Jenny and tell her it's a kitten video to get her to watch it.
I haven't opened Oregon Trail because I still am kind of leery that you did something.
I sent you Oregon Trail.
Yeah.
I sent you Oregon Trail.
Okay.
The video won't delete from either phone for over a week, but any others you could delete immediately. That's an interesting thing, because a lot of times we have the opposite, where it's like, it's deleted. We wanted to save it. The face showed up on another recording of me as well. My question is, could my screams and odd phone battery percentage relate to the face on those recordings? My cousin thinks it's my granny keeping watch over me. I was holding her hand when she passed away. Sorry if this is a little long. I just needed a lot of explaining. Hope everyone enjoyed it, and any feedback is greatly appreciated. You guys do an amazing job, and thank you so much for reading my story.
It kind of sounds like maybe an attachment.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say, you know, necessarily attachment of something real bad, just something
likes there
to be with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could guess that it's Granny. It might not be. Who knows? But it's showing up multiple places. It's not just when you're in a certain place.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder if the screaming in the sleep even relates to it, mm-hmm. or if that's just more, it's odd and more so coincidental, where you could go, well, that's scary, or you must be scared of something, and ghosts must be scary. If that's just something that's going on, and that's just a part of who he is, mm-hmm. And it just happened to be that occurred when they were in the woods, and then this was kind of one of the first incarnations of having some evidence of, this is odd, the battery dying, mm-hmm. and then the other following into the house, because they didn't mention that night when I went to bed, and I was screaming in bed, too.
Right.
You know, I'm wondering if that's just a weird, it just happens to be around you at the same, or you happen to go through that at the same time as some of these other incidents occurring. But something's following you.
Yeah.
Good, bad, hard to know. But so far, doesn't sound bad.
No.
So.
Just kind of scary.
Yeah. Back to the conversation in just a moment. First, I need to thank our supporter today, Busu. What is Busu? I know it sounds like, huh? What are you talking about? Well, yeah, it's almost like another language, right? Well, it's because it's all about learning other languages. Yes, Busu teaches 12 of the world's most popular languages. Spanish, French, English, Italian, German, Japanese, that's just some of them. And it's an award-winning app and offers a fun and effective way to learn those languages. Think of it this way. Right now, a lot of us have extra time on our hands, okay? If you've ever wanted to learn a language, now might not be a half bad time to jump into that endeavor of yours. Busu lets you practice new skills immediately with native speakers of the languages that you're learning. So you get feedback on your writing and speaking skills, and you can help people also learn English too, if that's something you want to do. Busu comes with loads of smart features like a study plan to help keep you motivated and organized, vocabulary and grammar training tools built by data scientists that make you remember what you learn. There's a whole science behind this, and they know what they're doing. You can start learning for free or choose to get a premium plan to unlock even more fantastic features of Busu. And you guys, being listeners of the show, get a special offer here. Check this out. Start learning with Busu by visiting busu.com. That's BUSUU.com, or search Busu on the iOS App Store or Google Play. To upgrade your learning with 30% off Busu Premium, use code GHOST. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Please do send in that video, though. That'd be great to see a new episode of Seeing Ghosts. Chad writes in, this is a story that happened to me. I was part of a ghost hunting group in my hometown of Wausau, Wisconsin. All right. There was a location in Wausau called the Rogers Cinema. It had gone out of business. And there was some remodeling going on it as it was becoming a nightclub. Got a chance to investigate, as the stories of this place are many and varied. The group had investigated before, though I never had. Relatively new to the area of hunting ghosts. I've had many strange experiences throughout my life, and I'm a believer. I was a skeptical believer. We're investigating the place and not finding much, at least, that it could see or feel. We went upstairs where I heard the story of a few of the investigators in the group that had been here before and caught a voice singing. Some of the seats violently rocking, still nothing. After a while, we headed downstairs to a small theater that was under the ground level. All the seats had been removed, but the floor had all the bolts still sticking up, and you had to be careful not to trip and fall. After checking out the booth where the film played and going under the main floor stage, we went back into the small theater We kind of just let the silence come and waited to see if anything would show itself. I was sitting at the front of the theater on a small stage that was there. There was another investigator next to me and two or three others around the theater. I saw a black mass across the room against the back wall. I said to the group, "There's something back there," pointing. It wouldn't help anyone know where I was pointing as it was completely dark. The next moment, one of the investigators caught his toe on one of the bolts and he almost fell. He said, "I almost fell. That would have sucked." We immediately caught an EVP. It said, "That would be cool," to the name. Then suddenly I became short of breath and couldn't get a good breath. I said to the other investigators that I felt like someone was sitting on my chest. I was sitting upright, but felt like something heavy was sitting on my chest and I couldn't breathe. I was starting to get scared. They turned on some flashlights and put them to me. I could see I was scared. It was time for a break. As we walked out of the theater and up the steps, I felt like we were being followed. We went outside and I felt better almost immediately. As we talked about the night, I felt my eyes being drawn to the front doors of the theater. I'd instantly feel like someone was watching us. I was scared and I couldn't force myself back into the theater. They kept telling me that I needed comfort. I needed to confront it, and I couldn't. I left the investigation, I left the group, and this shook me up so much. As the years have passed, I've done more research on the place, and it has been many things in the past. A real theater, a movie theater, an auto repair shop, a funeral home. I don't know if I was attacked by the spirit of it, or I was just wrong about what it wants and needs. I've never been back to the building, and even when I drive by it, it's now a church, no longer the nightclub. I feel like something lingers here. Thanks for taking the time to read this. Love your show. Just found it recently. I'm on episode 31. Can't wait to see which episode this ends up on. I got to Google this theater to see if it's one I remember.
That was my question, was do you remember this place? Have you walked by it? Because it's not a big town.
No, I'm looking it up to see if I can get if I can recall what it was. Okay, here's the address for it. It, like, the first thing that comes up when you type that in is the Paranormal Society of Wausau. So it's like, okay, let me do a... okay. Oh, yes. Yes. You know what? I do remember this place. It was not a active theater at the time I lived there. It is about a block from where I live, though. I know exactly where it is. And I remember it had a big old cool marquee. I forgot about this place, but it was right by the mall. And I write about this in our book.
Oh, you do?
This block, that'll be coming out. 'Cause I talk about my first experience that really freaked me out with it, what felt like the sleep paralysis.
Sure.
But now I really question if that was sleep paralysis. Then I talk about all of the other buildings around that block that have hauntings on them. Add this one to the list I didn't know about. This is literally, it's on the block if you go like half a block into the block.
Okay.
Because it's a big square, and then this is just one of those roads of the block about half a building in. There's this theater. So add this to the list. I'm looking on Google Earth, and I can see my old apartment building from this way. And I can see the other theater, which is more of a performing arts theater, which is still there. I think that's the Grand Theater, I think is what they call it. That has also been very documented for hauntings.
So what's the story with the block?
I have no idea. But it's a lot of just really, really, really old buildings.
And they're all haunted.
A lot of them are, yeah. There's right over straight down from this place, and then to the left, there's a sporting goods store, and then there's a stairwell that leads up and down that sporting goods store to, like, I don't know if it's apartments upstairs or offices or whatnot. But there's a rumor of a woman that carries a baby up and down these steps, that they just see this repeated, in that same block where my apartment was. That's where I had my experience. I don't know what else has gone on there. There's, another building that Walter Schrader built, which is the hotel
Retlaw.
Mm-hmm. It's like the sister hotel to that. That's Kitty Corner. And then there's a whole bunch of other haunted stories, and I don't even recall all of them anymore, just going up and down this block. These buildings are about 100 years old or more, and, you know, they just sit there. And what I wonder about is because the green space, there's a big, it's called the green space in the middle here of this block. Mm-hmm. It's this big open park, essentially. But that park wasn't always there. There was a building there. At one time, it was a fully populated block, and they knocked all those old buildings down. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they did it. I believe it happened in the 90s at some point to clear it up. But I almost wonder if that stirred a lot of stuff up, and maybe things, too, that were in that area.
It just went to something
They went
close.
To the next building across the street.
Could be.
And if that giant destruction project, because that's what it was. It was just destroying mm-hmm. these buildings. It's a beautiful little space, but I wonder if that stirred so much stuff up that then for the next, 10, 20 years here, it's been probably about 30 now, probably since they took that stuff down, if that's increased.
Yeah.
The activity.
I can see that.
It's because it's a big space that was knocked down. Here you can see the screen, but that's a big space. It's not just like one building was knocked down. That's an entire city block.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Very very odd.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of cool to hear about a little haunting.
We have to go up there.
My old neck of the woods. So, yeah, we should. We should go up there and see it. I have not been there since around the time I moved. So, almost 15, 18 years?
Yeah, something like that.
My gosh, yeah. So, creepy stuff. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Candace writes in, my name's Candace. I have a few stories to share with you. My husband and I were living in a small apartment in Cheyenne, Wyoming while I was pregnant. During much of my pregnancy, I was very sick and spent a lot of time lying on the couch, especially at night when my husband was sleeping. One particular bad night, I was miserable on the couch and had to jump quickly to make one of my many trips to the bathroom. As I hurried to the bathroom, I noticed a man standing by the back door near the laundry room. He was an older-looking gentleman, and he had just stood there looking at me with an almost sympathetic or worried look on his face. It happened really fast, and I have no idea who he was, but I like to think that he was there to keep an eye on me. I didn't feel threatened by him, and that was the only time I ever saw him. Another story happened a few years later. My husband and I had split up, and I moved back home to Oklahoma. My daughter and I lived with my parents, and one day, while walking down the hallway to pick up my daughter from her nap, I walked through a cloud of perfume. My grandmother had died about a year before, and it was her perfume that I smelled in the hallway. I stopped and walked back into the cloud and said, "Hi, Grandma. I know you're checking on me, but I'm okay. Everything is okay, I promise. I love you and miss you." I then continued back down the hallway to get my daughter. When I walked back down, the smell was gone. Again, I didn't feel threatened. I think she was just checking on me because I was going through a difficult time. My last story was also while I was living with my parents. One night I had woken up by my bedroom door opening. Having my daughters has made me sleep lighter, and I immediately woke up when the door squeaked. I said her name, thinking she was coming to crawl in bed with me. There was no response, and the door then closed again. I then rolled over to look at it, and of course there was no one there. The next morning, I asked my mom if she had come in to check on me, and she said no. She firmly believes that our house is haunted, even though we are the only ones who have ever lived in it. Thank you for reading, and I just wanted to let you know I love the show.
I feel like she's maybe got a couple of spirits that just are protective of her,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I don't know if they are related to each other or not, but it just sounds like, she's got the old man and then possibly the grandmother.
You think these are spirits that have shown up because it's her, or spirits that have just happened to be there because she's there, or that she encountered because of where she chose to physically be?
It's hard to know. It's really hard to know, especially since, she said they're the only ones that ever lived in their house. So mm-hmm. it makes you think, okay, either something was on the land or something's just following her.
Mm-hmm. Picked one up in an antique store?
Could be. I mean, anything's possible.
Sure.
And I'm not that surprised about having something watching her while she's pregnant, because that stirs up mm-hmm. stuff too. But I wonder if that's what's still following her, or if they are like tag team, they traded off and somebody else is watching her now. I don't know.
You haunt her today. I'm tired.
Yeah.
It's just kind of pass it off. Thanks for the letter and sharing your experience. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want access to all of our bonus episodes, you can go to ghostpodcast.com. Check all of those out. Some of our best ghost stories can be found there. Lots and lots of creepy stuff. Maggie writes in, I'm the youngest of four, and when I was young, a young preteen, I finally had the opportunity to move into the larger bedroom in our house. As I'm the youngest, all my siblings had superiority over the larger rooms on the upstairs level until they got old enough to move into the basement room. After 12 years of patiently waiting, my time had finally come and I moved into my new room. I had a four-poster bed that was tucked into the corner of the room next to three large windows. One night I was sleeping and I had a terrible nightmare about my oldest brother who had recently moved out of the house to go to college. In my dream, I was inside my old elementary school building as soldiers took over and began locking up older students in barred cells and started to fill the school with water and the intention of drowning the students in the cells and have us, the younger ones, watch from a small raft floated close by. I saw that my brother was one of the students in the cells and I jumped off the raft to try and save him. I screamed and tried to free him, but it was no use. I watched as the water filled the room more and more, and my brother tried to comfort me, telling me it would be okay and to go back to the raft, and that he loved me. I awoke from the dream sobbing and in a cold sweat. Never had nightmares before that had affected me that way. I laid in bed still crying when a tall, dark figure, who I assumed was my dad, walked to the end of my bed. I had a man's voice, and he asked if I was okay, and I said yes. I just had a bad dream. He said, okay, try to go back to sleep. As I would try, he said that he loved me. I said I loved him too. He walked out of view and I went back to bed. The next morning at breakfast, I was thinking about the episode and for some reason, it didn't feel normal. I asked my dad if he had come into my room the night before and he said no. I even asked my older brother, who had moved to the basement room and probably wouldn't come to my aid if he was paid. If it had been him, he also said no. Thinking about it, it didn't surprise me. The man I had seen was very tall enough to be the height, if not taller than, the posters on my bed, which nearly reached the ceiling. Both my brother and dad are 5'10". The figure was also completely black. There's no definition of face or clothes, almost like a dense shadow. But my room, with an entire wall being made up of windows, never got very dark, never really dark enough to not distinguish the definition of people. My family claims that it was simply a continuation of my dream that I had, that I never was fully awake, and that the figure was just in my imagination. As much as I'd like to believe that, I know I was awake that night. Either way, the thought of the figure never scared me. He was clearly looking at me, and like he said, he loved me. I have felt other strange things in that house, but I never saw the dark figure again. Hope you guys enjoy my story and that you believe me, unlike my family. I have several more stories about my childhood home. Let me know if you'd like me to send them through. Thanks for the podcast, and take care.
I almost wonder if whatever was there in the doorway was what made her have that dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like almost showing her something.
It's an odd one to know. I was almost going with maybe that was just some sort of protective spirit that knew that she was very troubled by what just happened in the dream.
Mm-hmm.
And that it felt there's a need here to show itself, and it knew it could get away without freaking her out.
Mm-hmm.
By being, okay, you're really freaked out, I'm going to comfort you right now, and then just disappear and you'll think it's your dad. With no intention of trying to scare her. And obviously succeeded in not scaring her. Actually succeeded in comforting her from the weird dream. So, I mean, I wonder if the weird dream was just that. Just, it was a weird dream.
Yeah.
It was a dream about her brother going off, starting, you know, new life, you know, and being, you know, an adult and, you know, the fear of what's going to happen as he goes away and you know, mm-hmm. all of that is kind of encompassed into the dream. And then this was just her protective spirit saying, okay, it's okay.
Could be.
I don't know. That's the only thing I could really go with on it because it didn't seem to reveal itself in another way, at least in this episode, of anything negative.
Yeah, and when I said that, I don't necessarily mean, ooh, I'm going to scare the shit out of you and I'm going to make you have this nightmare.
Yeah.
It's more so, here's my story, uh-huh. you know?
Oh, sure.
Kind of just projecting it there
uh-huh.
for her to see, which is not helpful at all when you're a kid. So,
yeah. Or it could be some sort of real screwed up antagonistic ghost where it's like, I'm going to scare you and create this horrible problem, then I'm going to save you.
Right.
You know? And right. Like that. Like, okay, well, that's great. I don't know. Thank you for the story and sharing your experience with us. 855-853-4802. The phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Logan writes in from Mississippi. Hi, Tony and Jenny. I wrote in about a week ago with a not-so-ghost story about my grandfather visiting me in my dream. Then I woke up the next morning to find out he had passed away. I don't think you've read it yet, but I have another story also relating to my dreams. First, thanks again for this stream. It explains a lot for me. I'm listening to your stream as I write this. I've had always had odd dreams. Some I can explain, some I cannot. I often have dreams that are very confusing and unexplainable. Like I said, it's unexplainable. I have no idea how to explain my dreams. That's how bad it is, and it's so confusing that it scares me. One time while I was having one of these dreams, I woke up to see my parents standing in my room beside me with the light on. It was about 2 a.m. They told me I was crying and screaming in my sleep and complaining about a man. They tried to wake me up, but they said it was like there was something keeping me asleep. I remember the man in my dream, but he would be about the only thing in the dream that I know how to explain. You know how to say you have hundreds of dreams each night, but you forget most of them within about 5 minutes of being awake? This night I could remember what might have been every single dream, and it bothers me that I can't explain something that big. In the dream, the man was popping up everywhere. I don't remember his name or even though he said his name quite often in the dream. I have a dream similar to this about once every few months. And whenever my parents see that I'm having the dream and freaking out of my sleep, they always ask me what I was dreaming, and I just don't know how to explain what's happening in the dream. It's just so scary to think about it or try to explain it. One time, I was having this dream and I woke up in the night. My parents weren't in the room like they usually were when I was having one of these dreams, and I looked over to where my desk was to see what time it was, and it was exactly 3:30 a.m. Remember the time exact. After I saw what time it was, there was a figure standing beside my desk, which was in the corner opposite to my bed. At this moment, I couldn't move at all. I couldn't speak. I was trying to scream for help, but I couldn't do anything. The figure started moving towards me, and I remember what the man looked like. Was the same man from my dream. He wore a hat. He had kind of a pale skin and a black suit. He came beside me and stood beside the bed on the side where I was lying. He stayed there for what I thought was a minute or two and disappeared. But when I looked at the clock after that, it was now 4:25 a.m., which was nearly an hour after I'd last looked at the clock before the man came beside my bed. It was the most recent dream. Like this I had, of which was back in, I think, May of this year, 2016. Our house hasn't been owned by any other people. We built the house in 2009 across the street from my grandmother's house, whose family had owned the land our house is on and hers for generations. My great-grandfather used to keep cattle where our house is. I don't think the man I saw was him. I don't know if this land is haunted or if something we own has something attached to it. My brother's bed once was a wooden bunk bed before the cut of the top of the bottom part. You guys always talk about bunk beds being different than normal bunk beds and paranormal activity, but there are also more things it could be. That's all the story I can tell. I wish I could explain my dreams so I could tell people what I experience, but there's no way to explain what happens in these dreams. If you could tell me what you think these dreams mean, it'd be great. So I could try to search some more of it. I consider myself sensitive because of my dreams, but let me know if you think differently. Hope to write in again about more of my experiences. Until then, this is it. Bye, guys.
Okay, Mr. Dreams. Mm-hmm.
I wanted two things. You know, it could very well be somebody that is trying to communicate and trying to get something back, considering it's like a reoccurring guy in different scenes in different places, and I'm wondering if it's almost like trying to take him to some sort of place if we're going down a paranormal road on this dream, which, if that's the route, I think that could very well be what it is, why it's all these different odd places that you may not recognize, but they seem very vivid and very real, because they may have been very vivid and very real to this person, and he's trying to show either just his story or some message based on that, if it's paranormal. Hard to know, though. Something like this could also just be, you know, I think sometimes we recall places and times in our lives that we have been to that we don't recall. More specifically, things when we were infants. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of places that can show up back in dreams that we may have visited when we were 4 months old. And you seem to remember a lot of the environment. And you don't know why. And then suddenly sometimes you go back to these places as an adult and go, oh, I totally remember this place.
It's familiar.
Yeah, you know, very familiar. Then sometimes very detailed. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, no, that's over there and this is over there and this is over here. How would you know that? The last time you were here, you were 2 months old. I've had that experience.
Sure.
And like, well, because did you take me here when I, well, yeah, but you were like in a carrier, you know, there's no way. And I'm thinking, well, okay, that would explain why I remember a lot of details. Mm-hmm. And all I do is sit there and stare at everything for a long period of time and try and absorb my surroundings and know what was around me. And I know a lot of people and you know, psychology experts may say, though, the mind isn't developed enough to remember these things. I think it's a case-by-case basis. I'm sure in some cases it's not, and I'm probably in others, it's recording and it's observing and it is making an imprint of what is around. And I think that can be recalled. And I think then sometimes it does show back up in dreams. Yeah. So the man in the dream may or may not have any significance whatsoever if it's not paranormal. Mm-hmm. It may just be happen to be, you know, some sort of, you know, imagery that tends to show up in your dreams and just will continue because now you're in your mind making a point of these are odd dreams. And then this happens to be the image, the guy, whatever, that shows up on these tours.
Wow.
That's what I'm curious about. So I guess I would ask, do you recognize any of the places that are in these dreams? And if you do, do you recognize them from being places you may have gone to or been taken to as essentially an infant before you would most likely recognize them?
Sure.
So that'd be the question to spur off paranormal or... You're on replay of of shit that you otherwise didn't realize. I always love that when I go to a place and it's like, oh my God, I totally remember this. Mm-hmm. And it's more difficult now as we get older because naturally with time, places that had certain settings in 1982 don't necessarily look the same.
Sure.
Anymore. Although in Wisconsin, some supper clubs, you'd be surprised. It still looks like 1962, which I love. But every once in a while, I still am able to, or I stumble across one of those places and I go, what? I've been here. I know this. And I could tell you that's over here and that's over there. And there used to be, in my mind, something very stupid I'll be pointing out. There was, you know, a turbo video game over there for a race car game. My mom will be, you won't remember that.
Well, how else would
how
you
else
know?
Would I know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like I'm not like pointing out. And I had a conversation with so-and-so. It's
right.
Like, no, I just can tell you where, you know, the shit that attracted my eyes was. Or in Wisconsin sometimes. And there was this one type of fish with a long horn on it, it looked like, over on this wall. Like, well, they took that down in, like, you know, 84. I remember it. So, anyhow. 855-853-4802, the phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Braden writes, in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I've only been a listener for a short while now, but I've been enjoying what I've heard so far. I would like to preface this story by saying that before the events I'm about to describe, I was a hardcore skeptic. I'm still not sure if what I've heard and seen can be explained away by science, but it's been unnerving enough so much that as a staunch non-believer, is now at least open to the possibility of the paranormal. I work in a large three-story building. During the day, it's full of life and noises as dozens of people with developmental disabilities and support staff go about their daily routines of learning, music, and just even general good times. Even though we all have our struggles, this huge building is usually home to positive experiences and happy vibes. It changes when people go home. My hours are such that I am often the last in the building and am responsible for checking to ensure everyone is gone and then locking up. I find myself alone in the building for hours at a time, and that's when things start happening. I heard stories since I started working there 11 years ago, and with some coming from executive director himself, about hearing footsteps and voices when there's no one else in the building. I brush them off as cases of mistaken identity. The air conditioning system, it seems to always be on the fritz, a photocopy machine resetting itself, or just the everyday sounds of a large building settling. the overall spookiness to the building in a large building after dark alone. But the first time something happened, I wasn't alone. A coworker and I were in the basement cleaning up after the day's activities when the little stereo that was kept down there suddenly turned itself on. She looked at me and I looked at her, and we silently made the mutual decision that there were probably more pressing matters upstairs, and we left in a hurry. It wasn't a clock radio or any kind that had an alarm. It was a style that had a physical switch you had to toggle to turn on the radio. Evidently, our resident spirit is a fan of music, because recently another radio kept in the janitorial closet, when not in use, turned itself on when I was the only one there. One of our directors even got a call from the security company that monitors our building, reporting that there was music playing on the second floor. In the morning, it was discovered that a computer was on and playing YouTube videos. Seems like a big stretch, but again, I was the last one upstairs the previous evening, and I know all the computers were at least logged off, and none were playing any type of music or video. I realize that this is getting long, but I have two more instances to share, including when I saw someone who couldn't be there. Once, I was working on a weekend and I had brought a friend along, left him alone because I had to get something from the other side of the building, and when I returned, he asked me who else was in the building. I told him no one. Then, who were you talking to? He asked. Spooky. And finally, one evening, I was the only one upstairs. I know because I had just finished checking to ensure I wasn't going to be arming the building with people inside. I was waiting for the elevator when I saw someone out of the corner of my eye cross the hall area and walk into a nearby room. I had a good enough look to note that he or she was wearing a yellow top. I entered the same room and looked around to find it empty. Whoever it was, it vanished. As far as I know, I'm the only one who has seen anything. If you got this far, thank you for reading this. As I said, I've only recently discovered your show, but am already considering becoming an EPP. Keep up the good work.
Something's watching YouTube videos in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird.
I wonder if this is something where, as people pass of more current generations, and it's technology that they are familiar with, that they're finding ways to access it from beyond the grave. Times past, it would have been just the radio, the record player starting up, you know, tape deck, CD player, things of that nature being triggered.
Sure.
When no one is there. But now that we have these things that people use on such a regular basis as YouTube or what have you, that now we're seeing that stuff being triggered. What would be really neat to watch is on the security camera, you know, seeing. My question would be, is the mouse actually moving to trigger the thing? Or is it some sort of an internal, you know, triggering of the computer as you could with like a Bluetooth keyboard or something?
Sure.
Where nothing physically needs to be being pressed down. It's just happening. What are they seeing on screen with that?
You know, I was just thinking about it, how board goes from like our generation and, you know, the the people that have the phones glued to their hands that, you know, can't put it down. I would totally be a YouTube watching ghost.
How boring is death? You
know,
how boring? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess it all depends what you're into and what you need to have to be stimulated. I mean, the idea of being dead and then being able to, depending on what freedoms you have, if you could wander around anywhere and do whatever you want and see whatever you want, no matter where, with no bounds, I think that would probably beat YouTube. But if you're not, if it's not that boundless, if it's more so, guess what, you're stuck in this building, I think YouTube would definitely be
I better damn well be able to access Pinterest as a ghost.
That'd be great.
That's all I'm saying.
I think it'd be real interesting to see how often people's accounts are activated who have died. Now obviously the living will go in sometimes and, you know, be able to access those accounts as they need to of their deceased loved ones, but if there's any way, there really isn't, of tracking that down of, okay, so-and-so got it, or they need it off the account, the account's just there in the ether now, and somehow it's still being accessed.
I read something in the news, I think it was last week, about somebody that's created a bot that basically kind of learns patterns on how you respond and what your sense of humor is like and things like that, and this person's still getting messages from somebody who has died based on the messages they had when they were alive.
Okay.
and just kind of, you know, taking it and deconstructing it. And,
yeah.
And I just think that's just a crazy thought,
mm-hmm.
you know, just to think that you're still texting and getting a response from somebody who's dead based on their past responses.
I mean, I could see the algorithm for a reactionary response mm-hmm. where you could get that. I mean, an intelligent, here's statements on what I did. That, I think, might be a little more difficult
sure.
right now, but I suppose you could create it. I don't know how intelligible it would be. There's another thing that'll be coming out in the coming years, and I saw a demo of it not long ago, and I'm really kind of excited about it. Adobe is making it, and it's essentially like Photoshop for audio.
Mm-hmm.
And you take, and it's going to totally screw with people when it becomes a mainstream thing. You take essentially about, right now, it's like they say 15 to 20 minutes of person's raw audio of mm-hmm. them talking. So you could grab our show, essentially. Let it input into the computer, and it will identify what's being said and all that. And that's normal technology that exists now. But then what it can do is you can then type out whatever you want it to say as that person. It's not just the Siri voice or whatever pre-programmed uh-huh. voice you have on there. And I suppose you could get pretty technical with that stuff right now, just with audio editing and get things to a specific tone
sure.
of people. But this thing, like, emulates inflection. It really...
You're not going to sound like the Daft Punk guys.
I suppose, you know, the first generation may sound a bit electronic, but I don't know. I mean, they're really trying to get this thing honed in to where you can essentially make anyone say anything you want. And that can get, I think, that's going to be really scary and messed up, especially in the world that we live in where, number one, people believe, you know, news stories about things that were never said by someone. They don't even need to hear the audio of it. They just
right.
need to hear somebody claiming that somebody said something. You know, and now you're going to have, you know, the younger generation will get it and be like, oh, no, they'd use this program for that. But the other 50% of the population is going to be like, no, it's right here. I just heard it. I just heard the audio.
Right.
It's like, no, that's not real. It's like, let's just find more and more ways to confuse the shit out of people.
Yeah.
So it should be exciting. Once it probably will be available within the suite of software that, because we use a lot of Adobe stuff. And we have a subscription to their packages.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if it'll be available on that. And if it is, what I'd be curious to do is actually do an entire show having typed it out and then not even have us recorded a moment of audio, but just simply
have it read the story.
Have it read the story and have it read the banter between us.
That'd be weird.
And it plays back and just see how real it sounds. It'd be great if, like, we're both sick and we still want to do the show. We sound like shit. So today's episode
I want to be replaced by a bot.
Has been. Well, I mean, it's not going to replace your personality. You still got to put the content in.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of how is that delivered. So I suppose one day if we sound like, you know, 85-year-old people, you know, sound, although I don't know, there's a lot of 85-year-olds that sound really young now.
You don't sound like, you know, Rose from the Titanic.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Here's today's story.
Right.
Although that could be pretty creepy. But yeah. if people just want, you know, like today is the 35-year-old version of us on the show, even though we're technically 90. I suppose we could have the technology to do that. So there you go. Kind of neat stuff.
Yeah.
Brian writes in, hello, my name's Brian. Since the day I can remember, I've always been sensitive. I've always could notice things like energy and emotion. As I grew older, I realized I was an empath and what I was capable and incapable of. For example, I cannot see people's auras, but I can feel them and visualize them. I've learned that when people lie or try to hide something, their energy shifts or that secrets leave a mass, almost like a hole. And when people get along well, they have a sort of shimmer. When I was 13, my family moved to Kansas. We moved from place to place before we settled in a small town called
Tonganoxie.
Where's that?
That's up by Kansas City, almost to Lawrence.
Okay. Never heard of that one.
Oh, I have. It's an old town.
Okay. Things began to change for me very quickly. Otherworldly beings have always had an interesting curiosity of me. Over the years, I had more visits and interaction than ever in my life. One particular visit, however, would change things for me forever. When I was 17, I was staying over at a friend's house. We'd gotten there late, so I didn't want to stay up long, but we told a few ghost stories before bed. I just gotten my first set of tarot cards, and I just recently opened to anyone about what I could do for the first time. I had abilities come and go. Some I had longer than others. My sensitivity, however, has never wavered. I've been sleeping when I began to feel like someone was staring at me. With this intense and uncomfortable feeling, my dream quickly faded, and so I opened my eyes slightly, thinking my friend was up to some mischief. I could hear him talking to his girlfriend and another of our friends. That is when I knew they were up to something. I could tell it was late by the way the moonlight was coming through the window. It was a full moon, and the room was brightly illuminated. I could see decently through my pinched eyelids, and pretending to be asleep, I listened. I couldn't make out what they were saying, though they're whispers, but I heard my name a few times, and suddenly it went dead quiet. Pretending to be asleep, I turned over and looked in the direction of the whispers. They knew I was at the very least waking up. When I looked up, I saw them standing over me. Feeling as though I outsmarted them, I waited and listened. Suddenly I realized they didn't think I was waking up. They knew I'd been awake. The room quickly became void of energy, and I realized they were dressed in very dark clothing. I looked closer as I waited and waited, and then suddenly something dawned on me. The room was fairly illuminated, but they almost absorbed all the light. I realized these were not my friends, and the staring became more intense. Their postures and frames suddenly became more obvious. Whatever these things were, they were very good at mimicking the living. I kept my gaze on the entities, and they just kept staring. My eyelids became very heavy, and I tried to stay awake, and I felt as though that was the only way I'd be safe. The tallest one moved very slightly. I almost didn't notice. He leaned forward slightly, and I had woken the next morning thinking it was all just a dream. When about the normal day, after breakfast, I asked my friend if he ever experienced anything. His eyes became wide, and he grew, so almost with an almost feral smile. "What did you see?" he asked. He quickly stated that he had seen shadows walking through his hallway. "This sounds like just a regular ghost to me," and so I told him about my night. This was my first interaction with something of this nature. Shadow people were standing over me that night. I wasn't frightened, but I was interested in their curiosity. All day I couldn't help but think, why me, or what did they want? Soon after, I began to grow curious. Now, I'm 22, and I've seen shadow people since then, but I doubt it will be the last of them. I always keep my guardians nearby, and I've begun studying white magic and charms. I pray to my gods in my hour of need, and my faith never falters. I only wish I had some answer. You have plenty more stories I'd love to share. That's all right with you. Thank you for your time and your show. I just started listening the other day. I'm a huge fan.
It sounds like, you know, just a case of somebody that's real sensitive, kind of reaching out to the other side and getting an answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't want to get into the tarot card debate, but essentially you're kind of asking for guidance from the other side when you do that. So it's probably something's answering that call.
It's like the door's open. Good or bad could show up. Mm-hmm. Just be careful of what you're doing.
Yeah.
Really. So, yeah, I agree. Thank you for the story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Next story, Lizette writes in. Hi, what's up, guys? I wrote to you guys a couple weeks ago about my mother calling me my sibling and aunt. I have another story about her. This didn't happen to me. It happened to my cousin, who was close to my mom, and who saw my mother at her final moments. It happened in 2008, like a month or so after my mother died. My cousin was in her room asleep, and for some reason, she woke up a couple seconds later, and she said that she couldn't move, like if she was in a sleep paralysis, except this was different. She recalls little orbs of light flashing around her room. In the middle of all the lights, my mother appeared at the end of her bed. From what my cousin recalls, my mother smiled at her. She stared at her in shock. My mother started moving towards her. My cousin instantly started freaking out. She started to move around. She screamed for her brother, father, and mother, but she couldn't make any noise. She looked back at my mother and noticed my mother trying to speak to her, but my cousin kept thrashing around trying to run or to make any noise. Then in an instant, my mother returned to the foot of my bed. My cousin noticed that she had a look of understanding. I don't know why, but it was obvious that my mother knew she was scaring her. My cousin stared at her again. My mother started to fade away. After she was gone, my cousin was able to move, and she ran to her parents' room and stayed there for the next few nights. She was too scared to sleep in her room that night. Next family party, she told me what had happened. She regretted not staying. Still, she believed my mother wanted her to pass on a message to me and my siblings, but it was too late. Later in a few months, I found out that her parents and her siblings went through something similar. Unfortunately, I didn't find out or ask what they went through. I was too upset that she was going to them and not to me, or so I thought. I'll write that story another time. I grew up in a Hispanic family, so we believe in spirits and mythical creatures. I have a story related to the El Dunde, gnomes or trolls, whatever the word is. I'll write in that story in a couple of weeks. Unfortunately, I'm not an EPP member yet, but I'm hoping to become one soon. I enjoy your show and keep up the good work.
I think that's a problem that probably several of our listeners run into, is somebody in their family is being visited by a lost loved one and they're not, and it's upsetting to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you wonder if it's the choice of the ghost or if it's more so what you're able to receive.
Sure. Or did the ghost think, you know, this might be too upsetting to show up to my love, to my mm-hmm. you know, direct, you know, descendant or, sure. or whatnot. Maybe I should just try and show up over here because it's not going to be maybe quite as impactful and they can still get the message over. But that plan backfires.
Yeah.
And you're still a ghost. And like, that didn't work. Mm-hmm. Now what?
Right.
It's hard to know. And it's probably a mix. It probably really just kind of varies by situation. So thank you for that story and sharing your experiences with us. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, become an EPP. Help keep us on the air. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com to get all those bonus episodes of the program and exclusive video content as well. Check it out there at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.